Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
We want to look at the Scripture. We want the Holy Spirit to bring some understanding and how it applies to us in our life and where we're at. And just relying on the Holy Spirit to do that. Listen, I understand something as a pastor, preacher, or speaker, or whatever you want to call what I do, that though I believe He gives us Scripture and directs us and as we pray and seek and open Him, but I also understand this, that there are things that the Holy Spirit can bring to an individual in a group like this, something that has nothing to do with the sermon. That He knows how to speak to your heart and your life specifically, words that, I mean, I could just never say unless He told me. And some things He just likes to keep private in our life between Him and us. And so, though you're going to be attentive, you know, to what's going on, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit, the Lord just might say something to you this morning during this time too. And I want you to take hold of that. Whatever it is, I'll just tell you, you can check out of the sermon for that's a good reason, because He's saying something to you where you're at while I'm preaching it. It's okay, all right? So I just want you to know that I understand the responsibility and what I have and the importance of this task that He allows me to do, but I also know that He can speak to individual lives outside of this message too. And so, you listen for that. You might just drop something into your heart and life. And there's no way that I can just do that for everybody. No way. No, none of us can. And so, hallelujah. He does good things through our lives in spite of us. How about that? Yeah? So this morning, this is what I'd like to, I feel like we should just share together in this. We all know, as those who are believers or those who follow Christ, we know that there has been a grace and a mercy that is given to all of us. And when we recognize that grace and mercy, that moment where we just know that Jesus has found us, we put faith in Him, we believe He's given us a grace, and as we grow in that relationship with Him and our understanding of God's Word, we begin to understand and grasp one of the purposes in our life is that, you know, through different scriptures, that the grace that's been given to us, we're supposed to give to other people. In other words, that saving grace that impacted my life, God's kindness towards me, I'm supposed to now display and allow that saving grace to go through my life to people who don't yet know Him as their Savior. That's what we do, especially in full gospel or Pentecostal circles. And this is not a competition thing. It's just you need to know that most of the evangelization, the sharing of the gospel, you know, in this country and around the world comes predominantly through Pentecostal, full gospel affiliations and people. Now, and that's not a competition. It's just how He tends to use. And those who embrace the fullness of God's Spirit and a baptism of power with evidence of tongues and other fruit that the Spirit does of power through our life, you know, that's part of this empowerment and call to go and do that. Other fellowships, they're empowered and they do a lot for, you know, social needs and all of this. We have our giftings and together we want to reach the people of the world. But here in this fellowship of, you know, being Pentecostal and full gospel, we understand that very clearly, and it's to the forefront of our lives, it should be, that the grace that's been given to us, we're to share with those who don't yet know Him as their Savior. So when we come into those circles and realization, we It's not just a philosophy. It is how we are now supposed to live our life. You know, daily, weekly, how we give money and how we give of our time and how we take time for people, even when, you know, no one is watching. It's how we live. It's how we're called. It's part of our joy. It's part of our purpose. You know, we're supposed to be heralders of the good news to people. And so we understand that. We grasp that. We come to a point where we like it. We like our job, so to speak, or our purpose, or our calling. Until we run into a person we think doesn't deserve it. Now, it sounds like a confliction, and it is. Because we all know that grace has to do with a kindness coming to our life that we do not deserve. I mean, we're saved by that grace. It's a saving grace. And, you know, it is easy sometimes for us to look at someone who we know does not have faith in Christ yet in their life. And to look at that and say, you know what? But I like them. I connect with them. Or I have a compassion for them. Or we have some similar interests together. Or we go to the same places or whatever. And, you know, I don't know. I'm around them. I like them. They don't know Jesus, but I like them. And we just, you know, we just want to share the gospel with them. We just want grace to pour out of us towards them. And then we run into some people that we don't like very much. And they're lost in deep darkness and probably some evil things in their life, and they don't seem to have regard for people or, you know, culture or morals or whatever. And they're just, and we start to look at that, and man, maybe they even make us angry, or they mistreated us, or they take advantage or whatever it is. And we just, like, we're not so willing to give them a grace, a saving grace experience or opportunity like we do the people that we like. I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. I want to share some scripture passages and kind of allude to some. But in Matthew chapter 15, I'm going to read a few verses here, starting with like verse 21. And it says, "And Jesus went away from there he withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon, and behold," now his disciples are with him, "behold, a Canaanite woman." Canaanite woman. Non-Jew. Jesus and his disciples, Jewish fellows. Canaanite woman, and he is walking into an unholy land. You all heard of the Holy Land, right? Jesus went outside the boundary. He was moving into unholy land by Jewish definition. And they go and they run into this Canaanite woman. And as they're walking along and they're going along here, it says that this Canaanite woman kept crying out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is oppressed by a demon." Now we're talking deep darkness here. Spiritual darkness is affecting the daughter's life and their home life, and certainly affects the mom and all that the daughter goes through because of spiritual darkness. He answers, the disciples kind of get fed up here, and they say to Jesus, "Would you send her away? Would you just tell her to go away? We're tired of listening to her. Send her away." Now remember, Jewish culture, Jewish law, all of this, and they are looking for a Messiah to come and save who? save them. Not other people, not Gentiles, because the Gentiles, they're pagans. They worship idols. They worship other gods. They worship themselves. They don't call on the living God. They're looking for a Messiah to come and save them. Not other people. Not other people groups. And here's Jesus' disciples, and they're stepping from the Holy Land to the unholy land. You have to remember, you know, in Scripture it talks about Jesus came for who? The lost sheep of Israel. Jewish people who didn't have faith in God and certainly weren't transitioning their faith in not only not to leave God, but to include now the Messiah coming, God's only Son. He was coming for them. Now, I know some of you are going, no, no, he came for all of us. Just hold on. I'll just let you know so you don't leave mad and leave too early. We'll get there. All right? So, here they are. Disciples say, send her away. Jesus answers to her and says, now this is Jesus. I have been sent for the lost sheep of Israel, or the house of Israel. But she came, knelt before him as they were walking along. And she says, Lord, help me. Is it not right? Jesus answers, is it right for children's bread to be thrown to the dogs? In other words, I've come for the lost sheep of Israel. I have come for that person. I have come for those people. And you want to be included and take from that. You don't take from the children's plate and what's for your children and give it to dogs. And she responds with this. This is so great. She says, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She says, just a little bit. The leftovers, the crumbs, what's not wanted, what's not really all that valuable. Jesus answers her and says, oh, woman, great is your faith. Exclamation point. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. So here it is. He steps with the disciples into an unholy land, getting away from the target group of Jews. And I'm so glad this is in here, this story, because there's a lot of things that Jesus did that just couldn't be recorded, never recorded all. But I'm so glad this was included. And he found, as he stepped to an unholy land, a faith that wasn't anticipated. It was the faith that was hoped for in the Holy Land, in the holy place, amongst the religious people or God's people. He found a faith that existed, that responded. You see, there was something about Jesus, whether she heard about him or she heard him somewhere, or she traveled and heard him, or whatever it was. There was something that she recognized about Jesus, that she had faith that his authority over this need of spiritual darkness could be the answer, and her daughter could be delivered. You know how it is as a parent, when something's really wrong with your kid, you can't fix it, doctors can't fix it. You are desperate. You will do anything. You don't care if it's something embarrassing or if you feel like you're outside cultural protocol. You will do whatever to get that answer because your love and compassion will drive you. That's what happened with this woman. She's approaching men, being a spectacle, being a nuisance. She didn't care. She wanted freedom for her daughter. And Jesus saw this faith. And the blessing she sought was granted. Now, I want you to remember this. We're talking about, we want to have compassion and disperse grace to people who don't know the Lord. We want to display grace. We want them to experience a saving grace. I mean, we have a responsibility. We should be accountable to the scripture that says, you've received, freely give. You have been saved, forgiven, not only for your eternal destination, but empowered with purpose and a grace in this life to give it away so that others. And so we see people have encounters with people and we want to share that grace. And the problem comes when now we're confronted with a person in our flesh, they don't deserve it. In fact, in our flesh, we might say things like, if God could allow the flames of hell to be turned up a little bit hotter for that person or those kind of people, I'm in favor. You see, we're not to be the judge, as in the final judge. And I don't want to get tangled up here in another sermon. But we are to judge. People know us by our fruits. We can judge the fruits in each other's life or the lack thereof. It doesn't mean that we condemn or that we condemn the person or we act like we're the final judge and we know everything. No, 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 no. That's his business and we should not meddle in it. So when you say, don't you judge me. Listen, there's judgment that takes place, but not final judgment. Sometimes we as believers act like we're the final judge and jury, and we get to bang the gavel. And I'm going to tell you something. You are on dangerous ground with God when you do that. The gavel does not belong in our hands as a final judge. But he does help us judge the fruits in our life and the lack of fruit. Or if the fruit is from darkness, or the fruit of sin, or is it a fruit of righteousness? So that's another sermon. We'll leave it alone for now. So we run into people that we don't like so much. And maybe they've hurt us. Listen, here is Jesus who came for specific people. We in this room, we know that he has come because he loved the world and gave his only son that whosoever, doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, whosoever. You know, we know things that Paul wrote, like, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. But I want you to hear this for a moment. This dialogue, she's asking for help. The disciples are saying, you didn't send her away. She's not Jewish. And Jesus says, listen, I've come for the children of lost sheep of Israel, or the lost children of Israel, or the house of Israel. He is telling her, this grace, it's not for you. Now wrap your mind around this. I know you're like, Jesus would never say that. Dude. Listen, it's not the end of the story, remember? So listen, I want you to, because we need to grasp this. And one of the ways we can maybe get a little inkling of the truth of this is, think for a moment. Those of you who are here who believe in Christ, this grace has come to you, okay? It has come to you. You've made good on it. You have faith in Christ. Think for a moment that this is the salvation you want. It's what you desire, this marvelous grace. And you come to Jesus and ask for it, and he says, I'm sorry. You're not on the list. You're not Jewish. I didn't come for you. I'm glad that you recognize there's a grace. I'm glad that you recognize there can be salvation, but as bad as you want it, I'm sorry. I didn't come here for you. I didn't come here for that. That's what this woman hears. Oh, so there is this marvelous grace that we can only dream about, but it's not for me. And then he sees faith in her, and she's included. Here's the thing. How dare we include who we want and exclude who we want? Yes. It's not about whether you like them or they're easy to like. or that they can reciprocate a kindness or a love to you. How dare they treat me like that after I tried to show grace and loving kindness and an example of Christ, and they do, oh, pfft. Fine, they can just go to Hades. I soften that blow by changing the word. Did you see that? It's the same place. So listen. So we got this great call and mission, but all of a sudden we start to include or exclude depending on our view of people. Look what happens here. Matthew chapter 8. What happens is, so you can get this, not everybody would know this, depending on where you are, faith and knowledge of the Bible. But, so, a Roman centurion, okay, he comes to Jesus, military guy. He comes to Jesus and says, I have a servant in my home who is paralyzed. Now, he's a Gentile. He's also hated by the Jews, because the Jews, though they had some freedom and liberty to live and to express their own faith, they lived under Roman rule as far as the government and politics. So the Romans were always around, and the Jews weren't completely free, and they hated the Romans, Gentiles, pagans. And now this Roman centurion comes to Jesus because he's been around. He's heard of Jesus. He's watched Jesus. He's probably heard Jesus teach, etc., etc. He comes to Jesus and says, basically, without saying this in words, I've heard you teach. I've watched you do miracles. I've heard about what you do. He comes to him and says, I have a servant who's very important to me, and he's paralyzed. Would you heal him? Now watch this. Jesus, in this passage, he turns to Roman and basically says, okay, let's go to your house. Jesus is Jewish. And Jewish people cannot, will not break this law. They are not to set foot in a Gentile's house. But Jesus has this habit of stepping into unholy land to give grace, saving grace, to all people. Doesn't matter where they came from. Doesn't matter what they've done. He steps into this. So he says to the Roman centurion, well, come on, let's go to your house. And the Roman centurion, who knows the Jewish laws because they govern over them and they've watched the Jews long enough and they know how they operate and what they believe and all of this, and he says, I am not worthy, Jesus, for you to come in under my roof. Jesus, you're Jewish. And you said you'd come to my house. I'm a Gentile. I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. Don't, Jesus, don't step into this, don't step into my own unholy home. He said, I'm not worthy. He says, but I'm a military man. And I say to one, come, and they come. I say to one, go, and they go. They obey me. So Jesus, all you have to do is give the word, the command. And my servant will be healed. And Jesus goes, wow. He's amazed. I have not seen such faith like this, even in the Holy Land, in Israel. Jesus was willing, once again, to step into a pagan's house. Now, remember, see, so we can grasp this. We just think, oh, pagan, yeah, they didn't honor the living God. No, no, to them, to the Jewish people, it would be like you and I having this pressure and apprehension to step into the house of a person who practices the occult. They don't honor the living God. They have doctrines of demons. They have articles of darkness that they use for, you know, scheming and trickery and whatever else of, you know, demonic things. It's like you would go, I don't want to step in there. I'm holy. I'm Jesus. Now, I'm not telling you just go run into their home. God give us wisdom, and we ask Him for it, and discernment, and all those things. But Jesus, He steps in to unholy places and unholy lives. Not just, He's in the holy place, He still walks, this is the focus, but everyone is now included. And how can you and I, who've tasted of the grace in our life that we're saved, now include and exclude who we want? Who we like, who we get along with, who we're not scared of. And ooh, them, they're really evil. I'm not going to display any grace. They're interested in any of that. They can call a pastor. We're here for you, pastor. Go get them. You go in the unholy, we're going to stay here. You know? Draw straws. Pastor, I'll draw yours. Yep, you're going. Listen. In the book of Acts, this is confirmed. Peter, one of the apostles, disciple, Jewish, goes to Cornelius' house, Acts chapter 10. Cornelius is a Gentile. And he's with his Gentile people. And Peter goes and is affirmed and spoken to by the Lord. You go to his house. Now, Peter's Jewish. He's like, I don't want this to get out. The apostles might kick me out. I mean, what are the Jewish people going to think? I mean, Lord spoke to me. He steps in, and the Gentiles receive the gospel with gladness. The experience of saving grace. He brings a report that, hey, the ministry, the faith in Jesus, the gospel is being received by the unholy people. I went into their house, but they received the gospel. So I'm okay, right? You know, they received the gospel. The report's been received. Well, great. So now they received the gospel. Now they're sending a couple of other apostles, and now those Gentiles are being baptized in the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, signs of speaking in tongues and prophesying. Their life's been transformed because they didn't exclude the pagans. Ephesians chapter 2, 8, and 9. We are saved by what? Grace, good answer, because what it says. You are saved by grace through faith. In other words, the grace has been given to all of us, but those who choose to believe, the grace gets applied to their life. It's like getting a gift and you don't unwrap it. You don't really get the gift. But when you unwrap it, hey, and you use it for what it's given for. You've heard me say this hundreds of times. It's faith that unwraps the grace and applies it to our life, though it's available for everybody. Not everybody unwraps it. The faith unwraps it. So we are saved by grace through faith, not by works of ourself, but by what Jesus did on the cross, which extends to us as a gift of salvation. He paid for our sins. He paid. We couldn't make it on our own. Now listen, some of us in this whole include-exclude thing, we get real, you know, ooh, look at how they talk, how they treat or mistreat people. Look at the acts they do. Ooh, they're in deep darkness. My neighbor over here, well, you know, he's like I was before Jesus, and, you know, we weren't all that bad. So we sometimes look at where we were in comparison to where someone else is. And we can have a compassion real easy for those who were maybe like we were. And we understand and we kind of like them. But these other people, whoa. You know, maybe some of you had a little wayward time in your life. I don't know how dark it was. You don't need to tell me. You don't need to stand up. Oh, let me tell you. And it's okay. Here's the deal. For some, they were in deep, deep darkness. For some, moderate. For some, they're like maybe second, third generation Christian, where they kind of grew up in a Christian home and grandparents are Christian and we went to church and, you know, all the stuff was pretty good. You still got a little, you know, here and there, but your life, it's like, I need God's grace, but, you know, really, I don't think I need all that much. I mean, your confession at the point you were saved when, you know, you were 9 is that you confessed that you stole candy when you were 8. So you look at deep darkness and go, I don't know. I can't stand those people. And look what the, oh, I can't stand. I can't stand them. This person over here, they do a few things. But, you know, that's not that bad. And besides, I like them. Besides, they didn't offend me or hurt me. They knew how to do a favor back to me. Not that I was expecting it, but hey, they're a decent person. Listen, we're acting like the blood of Jesus doesn't forgive all sin. Listen, if you stole the box of candy when you were 8 without Jesus dying on the cross, you don't have forgiveness for that. It doesn't have to be deep and dark. This doesn't even go together, but you get the point. Let me overstate some. Your little white sin, not deep dark, no big deal. Jesus' blood is powerful enough and needed enough for any and all sin. And sometimes we have a hard time with, we want to share the grace, we like the idea, we're committed to it, but I don't like that person. I'm excluding, I'm withholding. It's not about whether you like people or not. They don't know the Lord. We're called to herald this grace. Here, I'll tell you what. Do it this way. I want you to think of your favorite, hated sin. Now, I'm talking about for people who don't know the Lord. I'm not talking about people who knew the Lord, did some things, backslid, and rebelled against God. Listen, that's another message. This is for the world who doesn't know Christ. The neighbor, the coworker, the person in the marketplace, or somebody you meet as you're traveling on vacation, whoever, they don't know the Lord. This is who we're talking about, carrying grace and giving grace to. Giving the grace that we've received. Pick your favorite, whatever. I don't know, look at John chapter 8. Jesus got up early in the morning, and like he usually did, or many mornings, he'd go to the synagogue and he would begin to talk and teach the people. And people would come. Some who were on their way to do religious things, express their faith. Some who were curious. Some who heard he talks there or heals people. And so they would come and gather. And he's teaching. And then at some point, the Pharisees show up and bring this woman and bring her before Jesus, trying to trap him and trip him up so that people wouldn't believe in him. They said, this woman was caught in adultery, which means, you know, the night before, she woke up this morning somewhere she shouldn't be with a man that she shouldn't be with, and he shouldn't be with her. Jesus, we caught her. Ha ha! We caught her. Yeah, cute. Little kid going, ha ha. Brings the woman, and the Pharisees say, Jesus, Moses' law says we have the right to stone her. You might have compassion for a lot of people with different sins, but all the adulteress, I hate that woman. Listen, she knows she's not doing right. She's caught in the act, brought before Jesus, says, Jesus, this is what Moses' law says. We should stone her, or we can stone her. We got the right to stone her. What do you say? There's the crowd. Jesus was teaching. They interrupt him. And Jesus says, because they showed up with their rocks, those of you without sin, you go ahead and throw the first stone. And then they recall where they came from or their sin. And they dropped their rocks or took them back home for a next occasion. And Jesus says to her, "Where are your accusers?" They left. He says, "Neither do I condemn you, but don't do this anymore. Don't live like this anymore." And gave her grace. And with it came the responsibility to make good on the grace, just like our life. They were choosing who's included and who's excluded. I don't know. Jesus hanging on the cross, there's two criminals, one on each side of him as they're being crucified. Thieves. And as they're crucifying Jesus, the one thief is kind of mocking and making fun, and the thief on the other side of Jesus, like they're having this conversation. "Hey, he's innocent. We deserve this." As if he can wave his arm. "We deserve this." Sorry, I shouldn't make humor something so terrible, but he sees that Jesus is innocent, believes in him. And Jesus says to that thief, today, you, who had this close to last breath faith experience, you, I'm given grace. You have faith. You'll be with me today in paradise. Paradise. Now listen to this. A thief, probably not his first offense to get to the point of crucifixion. Repeated thief, taking advantage of people, lying to people, scheming, cheating, stealing, taking what doesn't belong to him. Now understand this, the crowds that showed up, they weren't just there to see Jesus. Some, "He's that thief, he stole from me, I'm coming here because I'm going to make sure that he gets his crucifixion." "He stole from this person, that person." Nuh-uh. "He doesn't honor God, doesn't know the Lord. I'm going to make sure he..." Oh. "He hurt us, he stole from..." Oh. Evil, dark. And that's the person that Jesus says, "Today, because of your faith, you and I are going to take a trip. We're going to be together. While we're going, exclude that one." See, we're called with the power of the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, to release grace to people who don't know him, just like the grace we received, whether it was over a stolen box of candy or we were one of the deepest, darkest people that walked the face of the earth. Who have never known the Lord. You're going to pick and choose who you get to show grace to? Remember, the Canaanite woman saw this beautiful grace and was told, "You can't have any." Find out today that God withdrew his grace. How lost we would be forever. No hope. But he gave a grace because he stepped into an unholy land. He stepped and sent his apostles into an unholy house. They didn't get to pick and choose on their own who's included or who do I like or who don't I like. We are called to herald the gospel to all people. Not just the people that are easy or the people that, you know, we like or the people we're just moved with compassion on. God loved the world and gave. And you and I received the grace that we are supposed to freely give.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.